32 and 33. After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. May your grace be upon us all this morning. May we be guided and directed into your presence this morning. And may my words come directly from you. In your blessed name I pray, amen. It was just after I heard someone say, "If only I had done it differently," that I reflected on my own personal thoughts about things I could have done better or not done at all. And then I started writing down some of the "if only" statements I've heard people make or might make, and these are found in, actually, if you have my book, in my book, God's Workshop as a Poet. And I start with, if only my actions had backed up my words. If only my many promises had been kept. If only I had prayed every time I said I would. If only I had called every time I promised to call. If only I had spent more time with my family. If only I had studied God's word more often. If only I had gone to church more regularly, not just once in a while. If only I had meant it when I said, "I'll be there, Pastor." If only I had been faithful in following Christ to the end. If only I had loved God and His church more than I loved their Lord. If only. But that is in the past and is gone. Now it is too late. It may be too late now to change some of the things of your past, but it is not too late to change your "if onlys" into "what ifs" today, this year. The title of this morning's message is "What If?" And I don't know about you, but I have dealt with these questions and these statements very often in my life. If only I had not misused my talents in this area. If only I had been nicer to my parents. As a matter of fact, now that I am much older than I was a long time ago, when we are together with my wife, I would say, you know what, I look back and I feel so guilty. She says, "Why?" I said, "I could have done so much more for my father. I could have spent more time with my dad. I could have taken him out for lunch and my mom." But now I said, "They're gone. I can't do it." And I feel so guilty. You know what? The devil has a way of making me feel so miserable that I lose my peace. Well, God has said, the past is gone. But the devil has a way of reminding you that when you are 15, You did something so terrible that you're not even worthy of being a Christian today. That when you were 19, you did something. And if you only had done it differently or not done it at all. If only my many promises had been kept, is one line that I read. If only my promises had been kept. Sure, I made many promises in my life, and you have made, each one of you, many promises, and you have not done what you promised. And yet, today, looking back, you may feel miserable, and yet that's not going to help you unless you have learned a lesson. I have learned a lesson from my past failures, and now, because I have learned a lesson, I don't repeat them. The old year has been one of many changes in the world. It may have been a year of difficulty for you, but whatever these difficulties were, they should be left behind. If onlys will not change them and will not change the past. But let's change the word if only to what if for this new year ahead of us. And to start with, let's see. What if this is the year of a new beginning? What if this is the year of new beginning? A new beginning for our church, for example. A new commitment to serve. Well, we will be nominating people next Sunday. And I hope and pray that some of you, not everyone is here, and at least those of you who are here, may look back and say, you know what, I have not done enough for the Church of God. And I mean the body of Christ. Now, if you have done, then you don't have to deal with that. But if you have not, or if you feel you could do more, then that is one area you should look into. Or to reach out with good news of a new life. Our church has been known now to be a church of outreach and evangelism. And we have continued doing it. We have, as you know, missionaries that we support a little bit, not taught completely, in Bangladesh and in Armenia and the Philippines. And I keep repeating this because I just want to emphasize our desire to reach out. And then we have our website that goes to every country. So we, but you as an individual have has a responsibility also to reach out to those who have not heard the gospel yet. Next, to bring or invite others to church. I don't know how many of you have tried to bring someone to church. Last night, for example, we had a lady who brought someone to church for the first time. And this gentleman was so happy that he came. Yeah, it's very difficult to bring people to church because people hate churches these days. Our province, from being the most religious province in Canada and probably in North America, and I've said this many times, has become the least religious, quote-unquote, or spiritual province or area in North America. What happened? Well, things went wrong. The church failed to bring the gospel. The church failed to touch the hearts and souls of people. The church made many mistakes. And when I say the church, I don't mean only one particular church. Churches in general, being the white, the black, the yellow, the red church, doesn't matter. Every church can do better and should do better. A new beginning for you. First I said, a new beginning for our church, this church, the body of Christ. And then we must look at a new beginning for us, for you.
The year you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't yet. If there's someone here that has never received Jesus Christ as his own Lord and Savior, and looking back sees that so many years have gone by, so many invitations extended, and yet has not taken that step, maybe this year can be the beginning of a brand new walk in your life. The year you confess your sins and rededicate your life, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, you still have to look back and see whether there are some areas that you should deal with in and rededicate. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Now, you see, it says, if we confess our sins. John is including himself in that. So what John is saying, yes, we are believers. Yes, we are born again believers. Yes, we are followers of Christ. But if we sin, we must confess our sin to God and ask for forgiveness. And he will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And there's no such a sin that God's blood cannot wash away. There is no such a thing that is an unforgivable sin, even though some will say that, well, you know, I only lied, but look at him, he committed adultery. I only stole whatever, a little bit of money. Look at the other one, the bank manager or the big corporations, they rip us off daily. Look at this, look at the other, and we justify our actions. But as far as God is concerned, there is no such a thing as a small sin or big sin. There is only sin. Whether you think that you are not as guilty as the other doesn't matter. God knows your heart. The year you return to your first love. I said first, the year you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then if you are a believer and you have some things to confess and make things right, we should do it. Then this could be the year you return to your first love. One of the things that people do is once a while, I haven't done it with my wife, what I mean is get married again. I go to church after many years of marriage, and will go through the whole process again just to reaffirm their commitment to each other. Now, that's what we should be doing with God. Yes, we love God. Yes, we say we love God. Yes, we say that we are born again believers. Yes, we are members of a church. Yes, we are we may be an elder or a deacon or a preacher or a priest, but if all that is only an activity, if that is only a tradition, and if that is only because we have started, or if that is only because we have been given a commitment, and we are receiving a salary, then it's all for nothing. It means nothing to God. What God wants is a broken and a contrite heart. A heart that is in love with God, our Creator. And when you are in love with a person so much, you will not see the pimples, you will not see the gray hair, you will not see the little bigger belly, you will not see things that everyone else sees and may comment. And yet, because you love the person, that person looks to you beautiful. Now, God does not have anything that is not perfect. And yet, we have left our first love to go to the worldly things. It's like having a wonderful table full with good food. And then we go out and buy a bag of chips and we start eating chips. Now, it may feel good while you're eating those chips. And yet, they are bad for you. They will ruin your appetite. They will ruin your health. And you miss out on that wonderful food that has been prepared. That's exactly what many Christians are doing, have done and are doing. We have the promises of God, of joy, of peace, of a journey that is toward eternal life. A journey that is protected by the angels and God Himself while we are journeying. And yet, we go to the world. We go to the world for a party, for some drinks, for some whatever, and we tell God, wait, I'm very busy now. And I've given this example before, and I'll just came in my mind again. It's like being in love with a young girl, a young man, and has just been engaged, and they are walking down the street, and they come across the tavern where he would spend a lot of time just drinking and having a good time with his friends, and says, just wait here, okay? Give me, half an hour, 10 minutes? I'll just go in and say hi to the guys and have a beer, and then I'll come out and continue. Do you think that girl will stay for too long with this man? No. He'll say, okay, if the boys mean so much to you, then go and have as many beers as you want. I will continue my walk. Well, that's how it is with God. We tell Him, okay, now, you can't come to this party. Please don't even look at me when I'm doing these things. Well, I'm missing out in the Bible study. I'm missing out in prayer time. I'm missing in these things. But I'm enjoying this program on my computer. I'm enjoying this music on my whatever, MP3. I'm doing this and I have no time for you. And you expect God to love you, to help you, to strengthen you, to bless you, and you want to have this assurance of being protected by God. No, you don't have even the right to do it unless you make a commitment to God, complete, and say, I am in love with you, God. That means I will not look to other gods. I will not try other things to satisfy my soul, because you're the only one that can satisfy my soul. Yes, I'm not saying that it is bad to go for sports. I'm not saying that it's not good to have food. I'm not saying that you cannot go whatever. But the question is, who comes first? Is God your first love, or God is just the insurance policy you have in life? Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. God, writing to the church, says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Now it says, you have fallen. You are up there. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Now, you say, yeah, I've read that before. That was to the church. Then no, this is to every one of us. If I don't love my wife as I should, and if I have other relationships outside my marriage, then my wife will remove that lampstand, if you wish, and should, unless I change, unless I find that first love that I had. What about our relationship with God? When we made a commitment, we say, I love you, Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and many people jump up and down and sing loudly and carry their Bible for a while, and then they go home and the whole thing changes. Well, God is, the word is jealous or zealous God. He does not want to share you with the devil. Because the things that come in your life, the things you do, either are from God or from the other one. Can't be neutral. Oh yes, money is neutral. You can use it for God or you can use it for the devil. You can have a glass of wine if you are not Southern Baptist, or if you are, you may use it, but if you get drunk, that is sin. You can eat a nice steak if you want, but if you overdo it, then you get sick. So, you know, there are things that determine your health in life. And so there are things that determine your spiritual walk in life. The year you stop looking back and start looking up to Jesus may be this. This may be the year that you stop looking back and start looking to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, if Jesus gave his life, if God came to this earth and gave his life, why should I look for some messages or some message that will make people feel good where they are? Why should I, as a pastor, why should you as a Christian try to minimize the importance of holiness? Why should we justify sin and call it something else? It's like eating something that is poisonous but and yet call it something else. It won't work. First was a new beginning for our church, then a new beginning for you, for me. And then, what if this is the year your prayers are answered? What if this is the year your prayers are answered? In Acts 4:31, we read, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken." You know, there was a mini earthquake. Because they prayed, because united they prayed. And I know, as a pastor, there are many families, there are many relationships right now on the rock. They're just shaking. They just don't do well. They're not doing well. And is it the fault of the husband? Is it the fault of the wife? Is it the fault of the children? Is it the fault of the society? Is it the fault of the church? At this point, who cares whose fault it is? It's got to be fixed. And a prayer will shake this family. May shake it if we are willing to allow God to do it. What if this year your prayers are answered? What if this is the year your children respond and get right with God? You may have children. You may have brothers or sisters that have not yet made peace with God. What if this is the year that they will make things right with God? But it takes prayer. It takes love. It takes a commitment to holy living. Your children, my grandchildren will only copy me. May copy me, not will, may copy me if they see that in my life I have some areas that they are so great that they enjoy it too, and I am guilty of being a bad example. But if I, by the strength given by God, live a life that is pleasing to Him, then this may be a year that the children will respond to our prayer. What if this year your spouse responds to Christ? There are many husbands who are praying for their wives. There are wives who are praying for their husbands. There are people who are praying for each other. What if this is the year? Let's forget what happened in the past. Let's forget that we had many arguments and fights in the past, and let's say that all these things that happened in the past come back to haunt us. And it's true, it's very difficult. There are people who look back and say, I have not dealt with this. How can I deal with that? I did something terrible 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and everybody is gone now, and yet I feel so guilty. Well, if everyone is gone, there's nothing you can do, but you can make peace with God and peace with yourself. And that will be reflected in your association or with your the way you live with your spouse, or relationship, I should say. What if this year your negative attitude changes? Now, this is something we can all do. What if this year is the year that our negative attitude changes? Now, what is negative attitude? And I've dealt with that, and I'm guilty of that, and I have pointed fingers at others for being so negative, and yet we have a very nice way of being negative. And I remember when I just came to Canada, a long time ago, I was in a committee, and something impressed me quite a bit. And that was when they were looking for a treasurer, instead of saying, Joseph, you can't be the treasurer, that would be okay, the person turned around to me and said, Joseph, that will be too much for you. I don't suppose you would like to accept to become the treasurer. And I, naive, but I understood what he was saying. He was saying, no. Now, there may be some things like that happening in your life. And you may take that negative, which sounds positive and yet is very negative, ruin your life. Don't. God has better plans for you. And God did have better plans for me. Your negative attitude may change this year. Your financial responsibilities are put in order. What if this year your financial responsibilities are put in order? It's possible you may not be able to pay all your debts, but God may come up with some program for or some way of helping you deal with that. What if God restores your health or your marriage? You don't know. We don't know. But this year may be that year if we faithfully bring all our needs to Him. And third, what if this is the year of revival? Acts 4:31 says, continues as a matter of fact, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That is a continuation of the previous portion that I read, which said, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were revived. Revival is often misunderstood. Revival could make this year a year of forgiveness. Revival could make this year a year of caring and sharing. In Acts 4:32 we read, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And finally, what if this year is a year of even more effective evangelism? You say evangelism, and we're doing it. Well, more effective, I said. Acts 4:33 says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. With great power, the believers witness to others about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the new life. Now, why is it emphasized the resurrection only? Because if there is no resurrection, Apostle Paul says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then we are fools. We are a bunch of fools getting together and doing some religious activity and playing these theatrics of religion, and going to church, praying, reading, and giving, and all this stuff is useless and is theatrics if Christ is not risen, if He is not alive. Because our entire faith, our Christianity is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not anything else. Of course, it's based on the love of God and all these, and yet, if all that was there and Jesus came and died and remained in the grave, that would be the end. With great power, the believers witnessed to others about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what is missing today in churches and Christians in general. What is not being emphasized is this new life, not because God has forgiven our sins, and not because now we have stopped doing the terrible things, but because there is eternal life. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will continue living. We will live forever in His presence. If that's not so, then why are we here? Will this year be a year of personal witnessing and inviting precious souls to Christ? If every one of us brought one person, and I keep saying this and it's never working or never has happened. If one person brings one person, if every one of us brings one person to church a year, from usually 80, 90, 70 people, would be 150, 160 next year. And then if next year, if everyone brings one person, a year later would be 300. Can you imagine that? It takes one person per year to do it. How long has it been since you made an effort to reach out and invite someone to meet Christ? Yes, what if? What if we ask God to help us make this year a blessed year? But let's consider two more words. The words, why not? The angel said to Mary, for nothing is impossible with God. Luke 1:37. Many good things could happen if your life too has this attitude, or your life changes. Why not? There are no limits to what God can do in our lives. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us one more opportunity to hear Your word. As I always, Lord, ask You, please, if I have said something that was not according to Your will and did not come from You, please erase it from our mind. But I believe You have spoken to me. You have spoken to us. And I believe that You are here to help us deal with difficulties, deal with our past, deal with our future, and help us find joy, peace, and the assurance of our salvation if we would only surrender our lives completely to You. Please be with us and guide us and protect us. And help us to become lights, not hidden lights, but light, wherever we are, so others can see and find their way to You. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.